Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everybody. I'm Hydro. I'm with Dr. X once again. And for this episode, we are joined by Mystic Hobo. Welcome, Mystic Hobo.
I'm glad to be here. I'm really happy to be here.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you were able to join us. So tell us a bit about the kind of work that you do. It seems like you do a lot of different artwork. So can you tell us a bit about what you like to draw and what you like to depict?
First and foremost, a 2D artist and illustrator. Although I would like to, expand to other forms of graphic arts like 3D and animation and stuff like that. I guess I'm taking my time and I'm sticking with what I know best. I mainly draw right now lolly, at least for my work, because I do draw other stuff that I like, other themes that I like. I like fantasy and cyberpunk stuff. I do draw that every now and then, but it's more of a personal thing. Like, when it comes to business, I draw lowly, and actually pretty much anything, at least I used to draw pretty much anything that people will ask me. I didn't like start it with Misty Kobo with the intention to draw lowly explicitly. I was just kind of trying to make a living out of hard because I was in a really rough spot. I started making like anything in 4E and fetish stuff, normal vanilla woman and stuff like that. But I always liked lowly and stuff. So I kind of feel like more comfortable drawing lowly. Like I felt like it was easy and fun to me. Like I didn't have to put that much brain power into it. I think how else to say it. And so yeah, I kind of stuck with drawing lolly. I'm happy to be drawing lolly. Like when I say stuck, I don't mean it in a bad way.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy that you've been having a good experience drawing lolly.
Yeah, I'm happy much, except I guess Twitter. It's a horrible place to be drawing lolly.
Yeah.
But any other place I've been like having like amazing response from the people. Like I kind of like every time I go into a Discord server, like someone invites me, sometimes people like receive me, oh my gosh, Misty Kobo. I'm like, you guys know me. It feels weird. Like I'm not amazingly popular, but I guess I'm popular enough to have like a decent amount of people know my name, and it feels so trippy, and I kind of feel like embarrassed by it, but also it's kind of a little ego boost, it makes me feel like important.
No, you probably have like a cult following amongst like lolly art connoisseurs or something on Barag or something.
I'm not sure about that, but I wouldn't be opposed to that, honestly.
the cult of Mystic Hobo.
Definitely.
I mean, it honestly does have a great ring to it. I like it.
Yeah. Since like my whole bit's like being like a magic hobo or shit like that. It's I guess it fits its own bits.
Yeah, I can see why your art is popular. And well, I like your art in general, but I really like especially the way you draw the lolly chests. Very good.
Oh yes, I get a fixation in certain body parts. Like I like feet, I like tests, and of course genital. And so I kind of pay extra attention to those certain features. Like, so yeah, it kind of, I really like how the Flash test loads. I always been like a small TD enjoyers. But yeah, I kind of pay extra attention to those bits, and I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Also, that might explain why the transition to doing more lolly art like worked out for you, because you kind of like the smaller chests. I know, like on Twitter, I guess the most popular stuff is having like really huge breasts for the female characters.
Yes, which I don't hate actually like that, but it's not. I've tried run that, and I have a tough time doing it. Honestly, I guess it's something about it. It's practice, you know, the saying, practice makes perfect. And I guess I have like an affinity to certain body types, and that's what I've drawn pretty much all my life. Since I was like pre-John, I've been drawing. I always drawn women like pretty slim and small. I guess that's always my type.
Like you were destined to draw a lolly.
Yeah, you could say that.
So back then, would you draw like anime characters or cartoon characters or like original characters? What were you most drawn to drawing?
I started drawing since really young age. You know the story, like, pretty much everyone has the same origin story with drawing. Like, I was watching Dragon Ball Z and I was like, this is the best shit ever. I want to draw this amazing fucking super cool guys. Super muscular guys fucking fighting and stuff like that. So I started, like, you know, trying to mimic Toriyama's style. It basically evolved into a more anime, normal style. Something that made me different to a lot of artists. Like, I see many people that say, oh, I started just drawing, like, characters I saw on TV, or I started tracing and stuff like that. For me, I guess I was a really creative kid, because I never actually, of course I did like draw characters that I saw on TV, like from anime and cartoon shows, but I always like preferred to make my own characters. I always like to like be creative and make my own superheroes, my own girls, my own cool looking guys, my own edgelord original character. Well, it's been always like that. So I've been like designing characters over and over and making original actors. I have like over the years I've amazed a huge amount of original characters that I maybe most of them I don't even remember. So yeah, I guess what makes me different from most people, because I've seen from talking to people, from even listening to your podcast, some guests here says, why trace these drawings, so that's why I learn, or I drew one of Naruto characters, Dragon Ball characters. For me, I never had like that drive to draw what I saw. It's more like I took reference from what I saw and then like tried to incorporate those little, oh, I like how this guy draws the noses in Naruto, for example. I like the way Naruto characters' noses look. So I'm gonna try incorporate that to my characters when I draw. And that's kind of what I did.
Were there any characters that you had made in your childhood that you still draw today?
Childhood? Not really. On my teen years, I do have like still characters that I hold very close to my heart. Even I consider most of them as my sons and daughters. Like, I couldn't even try to draw them in a lewd way, because it's a part of me. It's unconceivable for me. But yeah, I do have characters, really old characters that I hold really close to me and really important for me.
In regards to the lolly characters that you draw on your brag, like the lewd stuff, Are they usually pre-established characters, or are some of them still OCs?
The OC stuff is more of a personal thing. I don't really do OCs for my Missy Hobo persona. I do have some OCs on my quote-unquote Missy Hobo universe, or however you might want to call it. which is my own persona, Missy Cobble. There's Maddie, which is a redhead Irish girl, and there's Claudia, my vampire loli OC. And that's pretty much it. When it comes to my art with Misty Cobble, I pretty much just do front art and whatever people commission me to do, because this is first and foremost my job. Okay. So I do this to get money. I know it may sound like bad, because some people would expect me to say, I do this for the love of art, which I do. Of course, I love drawing Molly, I love drawing, I love art. But I'm in a situation where I need, you know, money. I don't really have the option to get a normal job here where I live. I don't live in the US, I live in a third world country. But I can say it's Venezuela. You know, if you've heard of Venezuela, you fully know this is we have a really bad situation, economically speaking. So like a normal job here pays nothing. It's like a month wage. You know, the minimum monthly wage is less than $40. So imagine having $40 for a whole month.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm pretty sure Dr. X and I would be living out of a cardboard box if we made that much.
So it's impossible to live here, because it's not like prices are like unmatching the wage. No. You have normal prices, and like I don't know, $10 for I do a weekly groceries. For my weekly groceries, I spend like on average $50, and the monthly wage is $40. So yeah, making art, it's like my main source of income. So I treat it more as a business than as a hobby. So that's why I focus on making bar art and stuff that people would like, so I can get more support.
Yeah. I mean, it's completely fine to make money off your art. You know, I've never felt like that's not a bad thing. And, you know, I'm glad that you have this as your job, since you do like doing art anyways. And because the situation you're in, you can make a fair amount of money more than you would reasonably be able to in your country and situation. So I'm really glad that you've had this opportunity. And I have to thank Barag and Koi for giving you that opportunity as well as other artists.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, 100%. Like Barag has been like a lifesaver for me, because I started on Pixiv and Twitter, which were the only places I could think of that would give me a platform to sell my art. And Pixiv, although it allows, you know, it allows lowly art, but it's not like the best place to do business. You know, it's like kind of it's filled with a lot of lurkers, and that, you know, that's it's not a good place. And Twitter is just really, well, you know how it is. It's really hostile towards lowly. It's a cesspool of a social media platform. So yeah, Barive has been an amazing place. Like I gotta thank my friend, which is called Pencil Friend. that's his name. His artist name. He's the one that introduced me to the whole Barag and even the lowly artist community. Like I found him on a Discord server, like at random. Like I was like, hey, because I was trying to advertise myself on Discord servers. Like, hey, I do commissions. Like if you want me to draw something for you, I charge like 15. I charge 15 bytes back then. And he went to me on say like, hey, do you want to get in this place with me? There's still like a bunch of 40 artists that I draw with. It was like a draw pile thing. And I started drawing with them. Sakuramoto, which is a real old artist, pretty much taught me to draw loli, because I didn't draw loli back then. Like I didn't know how to draw like a child body. I just did like women, you know. I didn't have any reference, like any way to know how to draw like a young girl. And he kinda taught me the basic, and then he drove me to Barag, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. This is, it's like Critter, but it's way friendly. I'm really grateful for Rack.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you actually got like you almost had like a mentor for learning how to draw the cunny, basically.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. Like, it's not only Seku, which I do consider my mentor because he's the one that kind of taught me everything, but it was like a more of a community effort. Like, I got into that little community. It's a real, really small community of artists that drawing a in a old as fuck Flash drawing program. Like, it's a Flash era online drawing program. It's like pretty much online MS Paint. It's that old. So it's a really tight community, but Saku is renowned Baraxo. Shout out to him. He's pretty much my master. So yeah, Saku Domoto.
That's amazing. Like, I mean, so you really started off kind of just not knowing how to draw Lolly. Then you got into it as you kind of transitioned over to Barag, and now you've essentially built up, I think you have almost like 7,000 followers. So you really kind of like started right from ground zero and just built up your following, did fan art, and now you actually have made like a business out of it. That's super great to have that kind of accomplishment. And of course, you always can keep growing and growing, because, you know, when it comes to Lolly and Shota artwork, I feel like that there's just a really untapped potential market for people who really want to see like more NSFW stuff of Lolly characters, especially fan art. And, you know, I'm sure whenever a brand new show comes out or a new anime comes out and there's some cute Lolly character that's in it, I'm sure you get tons of like commission requests, because that's the advantage of fan art, is whatever is really popular at the moment, if you're capable of drawing that character and other potential commissioners know that you're available to do that, that then you get business from them. It's a great cycle.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes even the fire I do at a boredom has even gotten me commissions. It's kind of trippy. It's like there's so much coincidence on it that it almost feel like it's magic, like there's someone controlling it. Because for example, it's been so many times that I just draw something, usually something popular, right? But sometimes I even just draw a character that I like, just, you know, for the sake of it, because I was bored and I want to draw something. And then someone goes like, hey, I saw this character you draw, I lost that character, but they pay you to keep drawing more of that character. I was like, damn, like a random thought on my mind made me draw this, and now I'm getting paid for it. I'm making more of it. It's trippy, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the dream as an artist, right? You basically can just draw something you randomly thought about, you post it, that then you get people who like it, and then eventually you get people who like it enough that they want to commission more art of it. I mean, that's the perfect system, perfect setup there when you can do that.
So have you also done any kind of animation art?
I've done some animations. The thing is, I'm kind of scared of animation. Like, even though I say I want to make animations, I'm kind of scared of it, because it's like a lot of work. I think illustrating or so on, that's this new, all these new things you gotta do for animation, like, oh, these little details that I do, they're kind of overwhelming, you know? Especially with 3D animation, I also want to make 3D stuff. And I open Blender and I get scared. What fit? It's there's so many stuff. There's so many stuff. There's so many options, so many tabs, so many tools. I'm like, yeah, no. And I close the Blender.
Well, I gotta check that out another day.
Yeah.
What it might help like with Blender is if you just start with the basics rather than trying to start learning animation right away. So that way, like, it'll be a little easier on you. So you're not as overwhelmed by the UI, because I know when you open Blender, there's a bunch of fucking buttons everywhere.
Exactly.
So it can be a little overwhelming for people.
Too many buttons. That's scary.
What program do you use to make your art?
For the pretty much all my art careers, I've been using Krita, which is a open source free art program.
Yeah, open source, nice.
Yeah, it's being open source, it's really fun because it's highly customizable. I got a bunch of stuff in my Krita, like themes and brushes and anything you can think of, just because it's open source. Like, people make a shit ton of stuff for Krita. I used Photoshop before Krita, and before that, my first ever painting software, art software, was a program called Curl Painter. I don't know if it's any popular or not. Honestly, I never had anyone using it, but I just wanted to mention it. You know, Photoshop is like not mainly built for art. Like, you can totally do art and on it, and many amazing artists do other art in Photoshop, and it turns out amazing. But I guess I didn't feel really comfortable with it, and I portrayed it, and it was free, and it looked nice, and I was like, yeah, let's just try this. It's really similar to Photoshop, so I didn't have to relearn the program. You know, I just downloaded it and start drawing and see your problems. It's been amazing.
Nice.
I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, open source is actually incredibly valuable for, you know, artists like yourself or creators that are maybe in a financial situation where they wouldn't be able to afford something expensive, like, you know, a monthly subscription to Adobe's Photoshop or, you know, some really advanced program that's like $500 up front. So open source is actually pretty amazing for people who may want to get into drawing or get into some kind of creative thing like Blender with 3D animation. That's totally free and open source. So you may financially not have many resources, but thankfully open source and all the communities are out there that make those programs free and available to learn, and then you're able to, you know, potentially start a business or start making income by using those programs. Is pretty great.
Yeah, but it's absolutely amazing. I've had a lot of friends that ask me that they want to start an art, and they ask me, hey, what I want to start drawing. I already downloaded Bip Studio Paint, for example, which is one of the most popular programs. But when they say download, they mean hire it. they didn't pay for that. So, of course, if you know how to pirate stuff, like, be my guest, go ahead. I don't really mind. But I have friends that are not really internet savvy, if you know what I mean.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, so it's kind of dangerous. Like, they just go ahead and download the Tip Pseudo Paint for the first web page they get on. And, you know, who knows what's in that program besides the paint software. Who knows what else is in the... So I just go, why don't you just download Krita? It's free. You know, it's clean. And it's as good as any professional art program. You know, this is my tip for any beginner artist. Like, just download Krita. Honestly, like, it's way safer. Like you said, it's like, it's right there. It's open source. It's free. And it's as good as any other one. It gets updates every 3-4 months with tons of new stuff. You can do animation on Krita too. You can do vector art. You can do... of course, photo editing.
So what you're really saying is step one, download Krita. Step two, question mark, question mark, question mark. Step three, profit. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like learning how to draw, what kind of advice can you give people? I know you're the first step is to download Krita, of course. What comes after?
Honestly, I always say the same thing when people ask me, some tips for starting to draw. They always get angry at me because I always say the same thing. But it's like, the best key is just drawing. But when I say that, I mean, take it seriously. Like, do it. Like, don't draw once every month or every time you like feel bored or not. Just draw as much as you can. draw anything you see. Draw your hands, draw your feet, draw your face, draw characters you like, draw clothes, draw people on the street, draw anything at every time any place you are, draw. That way you'll learn to see and translate what you see to lines. If you see someone's face, you won't see just a face, you will see the basic shades that come from that face. That's the key to learning to draw. Like, when you draw, you are pretty much just making basic shapes and building something way more complex out of those basic shapes. And you need just start to figure out how to like take those shapes from your surroundings, or even just drawings. Like if you want to make fan art for Molly Mackie, for example, she's a cute character that like you need to look at her and you need to like see what shape she's built from. That's my tip for drawing. You need to learn how to see the shapes in everything, and how to build whatever you find to draw with those shapes.
Very cool. That's great advice. Kind of just learning the language of art, essentially.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to say language of art. I never heard that. It sounds really deep.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, you learn how everybody's actually made of squares and circles.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, because people always try just to like see stuff like, I'm going to draw a nose, and they just like put details on lines where they shouldn't be, like, just like look at that nose and look at how the, I'm not going to go into detail because that's it's more of a technical stuff. And start drawing. And don't give up, because it's something that takes time. That's also something really important. It takes a lot of time. Like, some people may take less, some people may take more, but it takes time for everyone. There's no artist on this planet that just grab a pencil and then started, you know, doodling on a piece of paper, and then boom, next day he is amazing. No, everyone took years of training themselves, years of learning different techniques to be in the place they are.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much like Toriyama must have drawn. Like, my God, he probably drew hundreds of thousands of images during his lifetime.
100%. Yeah, I get it. You know, people feel like really, really, they want to, you know, be good really fast, but nothing in this life, it's this that they say you gotta train yourself for it. Also, educate yourself. That's another tip. That's my last tip. Educate yourself. It's as easy as just getting on YouTube and watching some art tutorials. It's just as easy as that, because education gets you a long way. I grew by myself for years. And I'm pretty sure if I had an artistic education, I would have been like way more advanced by now. I had like my little guard gauge, because, you know, I didn't have no one to teach me. I didn't, for some reason, I didn't look up tutorials on the internet. Like, and I got stuck by my own drawing the same stuff, and that's not good. You would have to educate yourself.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And since on Barag, you're mostly a lolly artist, or at least that's a lot of your drawings, how did you get into lolly in the first place?
Oh man, that's an interesting question, because I don't really know where to begin. Like, if I look really, really far on my childhood, I would watch cartoons, and I just like a little cute girl on the cartoon, and I was like, she's cute, I like her, I want her to be my girlfriend and stuff like that. So I don't know if that counts as me liking loli back then, if you mean loli as a genre, man. But I believe I saw Bullycon even before I had a concept for Molika. I'm pretty sure maybe my first ever exposure to Lolicon was most likely when Tennyson porns on the Rule 34.
Classic.
Yeah, most likely that. But then when I got into anime and I got into the community and stuff, inevitable stumble into the Lolicon genre, and I was like, oh, so this is slowly okay, I like this.
So that was when you actually knew of the term loli.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much when I got into anime, that's when I learned that loli was a genre. Before that, I only, like, it was just people making art of, you know, young girls. And in my innocence back then, I thought they were, like, around my age. Yeah, I thought they were, like, 10, 11, yo, infinity kids drawing when fan mean naked, stuff like that.
So you actually thought... You thought it was like other kids drawing like Gwen, basically.
yeah, because I don't know. It's like the thing is, I had like unsupervised internet access since very young. So yeah, like I figured if I'm on the internet looking at this shit, there must be other kids or else I'm on the internet looking at this shit. So it wasn't that big of a leap to know to think that there's also like a really talented kid that. If it is drawing one tiny some corn or any other loli character.
That's almost inspirational. Like if you see that, like some art and you think it was made by someone of the same age, you're like, holy shit, like if they can do it, I can do that too.
That's true.
No, for real. That's then what pushed me into drawing. It was between Dragon Ball and the stuff I saw on the internet. I would see people drawing the characters I like, and I was like, man, I can do that.
It worked out in the end.
It totally worked. I don't regret anything. I was a really bad student. Back in school, I would not make any of my homework. I would like fail every test, every exam. Why? Because I spent every second in class drawing on my notebook. I did nothing but draw, nothing. And back then, like, my friends would be like, hey, let's go play in the yard, you know, play some football or something. And like, I'm like, no thanks, I'm good here, I'm drawing. Yeah, I spent all my, on my childhood and my teen years just drawing. I barely graduated. Yeah, I pretty much shit my way to school. Like, I had a friend that was like that kid that always got an A plus and everything. So he was my friend, and I was like, man, please help me. And that's how I shit my way to school. Because I never did anything. I just cheated, copied his own work and everything. And that's how I graduated a few months.
I mean, but that's a pretty great friend, though, because like you wanted to stick with your art and wanted to do your drawing and, you know, you were willing to do whatever it took to stay that kind of path. So, you know, have to kind of almost thank your friend for, you know, being willing to help you with that because you wanted to pursue your art. And now here you are able to make a living off of it.
Yeah, that was like a very important part of my life. If I didn't do that, I guess I wouldn't be here. Yeah, so yeah, that's, he is the one that saved me from still being in school today, I guess.
At that time, did you have a dream of making a living from your art?
Oh yes, I've seen so very young. I wanted to make a living out of my art. I always have my faces. I want to make video games first. I want to do concept art. I still want to do concept art, though. Then I want to do animation. Then I want to go to concept art again, then animation again, then video games again. So I've always wanted to live out of art. I always wanted to be an artist. Whatever that's animation, whatever that's 3D, whatever that's illustration. Since really young, I knew I want to dedicate my life to art.
And in the end, you did manage to make a living off of art and continue to do so. That's amazing. I'm happy for you, honestly.
I feel proud of myself. I've sometimes, you know, I sometimes get like a little depressed and stuff. Like, oh man, I'm not as good as I should be. But sometimes I look through my old drawings and I see how much I've grown in comparison to my first drawings. And I can see a really hard difference on quality, and I feel proud of myself.
That's awesome. I mean, I know that to quote Bob Ross, who does all the painting stuff, he says, for artists, you always or creative people, you always want to be plagued by dissatisfaction, meaning you always want to feel like you can do better the next time. Because if you say, you know, if you think to yourself, oh, well, this is the best artwork I'll ever do, well, then you're never going to be able to make even better art in the future, or have the mindset of I can always get better and better.
That's a conversation I had with a friend not so long ago. That's funny. I told him pretty much that if you don't feel like you can do better, then you cannot get stuck.
I know you mentioned the body parts that you like, but are there any kind of kinks you like, or types of lollies you like, or like, yeah, things that you especially like to draw?
Oh man, I do have a bunch of kinks, a ton of them. I don't usually do draw my kinks on art. I cannot pen to make it slightly vanilla, maybe a little foot focus, because I, you know, there's a lot of people that like feet. I like feet too. With lolly body types, I have kind of a rule, flat chest rule.
Very good.
I don't really mind it. I really mind the mosquito bites or the little budding breast.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a flat chest in your. No, I like them flat. That's, I know it looks better to me. When it comes to body type or, you know, age range or anything, I, you know, as long as it's flat, I pretty much like it. I I like, you know, the more chubby ones. I like the skinny ones. I like them all because they are cute. I only have a really big preference. When it comes to kinks, well, I do have a little fixation for teeth. I wouldn't consider it to be sexual in nature, but I do have like this little fixation that I like to draw like really nice teeth. I really like teeth, how they look.
This probably coincides with your vampire lolly OC. I am taking it probably.
Yes. Yes, it does. Like, I wanted to, like, wanting an excuse to draw big fangs and teeth. And
I figured.
Yeah, vampires is a perfect way. So, yeah, it might have a little fixation. Wouldn't consider it sexual, though, but it is, I guess it could be a kink. Also, like, armpits. It's funny because I used to hate armpits, but a friend of mine cannot convinced me that they were hot, like that he fucking gaslighted me into liking them. And I now I'm stuck with an armpit fetish thanks to him.
Well, I mean, lolly armpits are pretty great. I mean, you can rub up against them and everything, and so I can understand that one for sure.
Also, I kinda like that old masochist stuff. Like, I cannot have a kink for masochist girls and lolis, of course. Girls that like to feel pain and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's really hot for me. It's been it's not just like grow when it comes to grow. Like, it's just someone suffering. For me, it's more hot when that girl is enjoying that suffering. I like that's what I like the most. So masochism, I like that. That comes with all the BDSM stuff, BDSM stuff, like choking, you know, the bruising and stuff like that. So yeah, that's all my like kind of mortal hardcore kinks. Yeah, I think that's it. Like I found like a little kinks, like banal pop cuts and glasses and braces. Piercings, freckles.
It kind of makes me think about what you were talking about earlier, where you like the little details and things. So things like piercings and things like braces and stuff like that. Those are like little details, but they're fun because they add more to a character. Like, you know, adding braces to like a Lolly character, and of course relates to the teeth thing too. Like that adds a lot of person. That can add a lot of personality to them.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being psychoanalyzed right now.
Well, I mean, it's probably because I kind of like, I love personally when like a character with braces gets their braces jizzed on, or they come on their braces. I always like that for some reason. That just really gets to me, and so it gets me feeling something when that happens. So I can relate on that one.
I guess with the armpit thing, it's like, well, it's right next to the chest, so it's almost like it's part of the package. You know what I mean? Like a flat chest and the armpits. I just had that thought.
Yeah. When I say I hated them, I actually didn't being hate them. I was just like, man, I don't get it. I don't like, you would be like, oh man, armpits Hosoha. Like, look at this picture of an armpit. I'm like, bro, I don't get it. Like, this is just, it's just a piece of skin. You know, it's a, I don't see the appeal, but I don't know what the fuck he did. I know if he makes some kind of spell on me or some shit, but he somehow gaslit me into liking them. I don't know at what point. One day I just woke up and I saw a picture of a good old sound bit, and it was like, him, that's pretty hot.
Well, you know, people are kind of like that with feet too. Some people that they're just kind of like, I don't get it with feet, and other people are just like, oh man, I love it. I think feet stuff is fine, and I do like foot job stuff, and that kind of stuff is fun. I like it, but other people are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Or some people are just like, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of feet and toes and stuff. But for you, you actually really like is the feet thing probably like one of your top things that you like? I mean, you did mention it as being one of your favorite things.
Yeah, I really like feet. Not as extreme as some people, because, you know, like everything, it comes on a little spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people like feet in other ways than other, like some people like stinkier feet, some people like dirty feet, some people like to get step one and stuff like that. I'm more of a just looking at feet guy. Like, I just like to see how they look and how cute they are, maybe touching them and stuff like that, and not that big and smell and stuff like that. No.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I like the visual of the feet, but I generally like to see my feet clean if I have to look at them up close or in detail. I like to see them nice and clean. And
yes,
because, you know, I work with Highwear with DGen Comics, and I can tell that Highwear also really puts a lot of like emphasis on like feet and hands and stuff. And I like it. So I like that he puts that detail in.
Oh, yeah. Highwear is amazing. I'm not only an artist. I'm a big consumer of art too. Like, I won't lie. I have like my favorite guys that I, you know, take my alone time with, fish face, you know what I mean? So, and Highwear is definitely one of them. I absolutely love everything he does. The way he draws lolis, he's so cute. Like, from the chest to their feet, from everything. I absolutely love Highwear.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the reason why I was so excited and privileged to work with him on DGen Comics, because he seemed like such, like, to me, he's like almost like the pinnacle of what Lolly and Shota artists are, basically. I put him up there with the best of them.
Definitely, yeah.
Now, it seems like you're currently taking commissions.
Yeah, I'm constantly taking commissions because, like I said, it's pretty much my job side. I can't really put a pause to it. Sometimes I do, maybe because I feel bad, maybe because I've enough money to get by. But usually I'm always open on commissions.
And you've also got a fan box, is that right?
I do have a fan box, yeah. It's kind of dead. Yeah, like, I've pretty much had, like, the same 8 guys and that time was for years now, which shout out to them because they're, like, super loyal to me. I think they always support me. But, yeah, it's a really small fan base, but it's there. And it solely has helped me in tough times because, you know, that monthly a little 80 bucks that fun box gives me sometimes really help a lot.
Oh, that's good. So yeah, everyone who's listening, if you take a look at Mr. Koba's art and you enjoy it, support him. And he lives in a certain country where it's hard to make a living. So consider that too, that you'll really be helping someone out who's not in like the necessarily the best kind of circumstance.
Yeah, that's right. And like a little can go a long way in that kind of circumstance.
So do you have any plans for the future for your art? Like milestones you want to hit, or maybe things you especially want to improve on, or like projects you want to do?
Oh, I have a bunch of projects I want to make. The thing is, I struggle to find the time. What I really want to make a few comics.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how many details I want to give away. Like for I want to make a first of all comic for my OCs. Won't be that much of a coming, would be more of a little vignette, like two panels, three panels every week, something, you know, just making a little joke and stuff like that. Wouldn't be like an actual story. What I do want to make, like actual, I don't know, 15, 20 pages comics about certain topics. Like I wanted to make something about the Induce Superman show, Lois and Superman. You know, there's this slowly, and we like, she's like this little business woman, Miss Fibaso, she called herself. I would like that girl. She's really cute. She's so sassy, yeah, and I'm cute. So I wanted to make a comic about her for the longest time. I also want to make a comic about starring my favorite character from Gravity Falls, which is Sus. Sus, I mean Sus.
Oh, Sus.
I love that guy. I love that guy. So I kind of feel like he's like the best character in that show. So I kind of want to make him, you know, fuck every girl in the show just because. I feel like it's helping my homie out. You know, it's he's my bro, and I want to help him get some purse. You know, and you know any other product that I think I want to make comics and yeah, something big and something cool that people would appreciate. I actually kind of redesigned all my Ambox and Subscribestart to fit a new artistic process I had going on. Like I want people that subscribe to help me make better art. Like the details are my fan, but like it's more of a people vote for certain stuff for certain characters, and I will try to make the best piece of art out of that character monthly. So because what I have when I was going on with my handbooks was like trying to please everyone, like everyone would request a character and I would try to draw as many of them as I could, but that's not really good. Like that I you know, the quality had to be lower, and sometimes I would like rush some drawings and stuff because I tried to please everyone. But now I've made it in a way that it's more democratic, I guess, and I can make a like really high quality art out of it. That's kind of my make plans for the future. Like I want to make high quality stuff. I want to be the fucking next out best, you know. I want like that guy is one of my favorite artists, and I want to be like him. I want to be like the next Alkay. I want to be the next Fitzroth. That's a guy that also I admire a lot, and I want to achieve that quality. I feel like I'm close, but not quite yet. So I want to be like them. I want to be someone known for the art quality, someone known for amazing art.
Yeah.
I think you will get there. I mean, I think you have the right mindset with your art, where you're always looking to improve and taking inspiration from other artists. I mean, I think that's really the basis for all artistic people, is that they take inspiration from what they love or what they like. And, I think that's smart what you did with your fan box, because I think a good rule of thumb to follow when you're trying to draw art for your supporters and your fans is you want to give them a choice, right? Like they choose from like three or four characters, but they need to be characters that you yourself are interested in drawing, right? So basically what ends up happening is you're kind of doing like a controlled vote where you're giving them choices, and maybe they're choices they suggested, and you choose from a certain amount of suggestions. And then when the vote's over and the one who wins, you go, oh, well, that's great, because I wanted to draw any one of them anyway. So it works out, and it kind of is a win-win for everybody. When you're more into the subject matter or the character you want to draw, that's going to improve your quality, because you're going to want to put more time into it.
Totally, yeah. When I feel like that I have a connection, the result is way better. I don't know, when I enjoy something that I don't practically like or care about, the result is usually a hit or miss. Maybe it looks amazing, maybe it doesn't look as good as it could have been. But yeah, when you have your heart on something that you're making, it always turns out good.
So where can people find you? Like, what sites are you on?
Well, I'm currently, of course, Vara. That's pretty much my main social media when I post everything I do. You can also check my Pixiv out, which is kind of abandoned. Like, I do update it every now and then, but like I don't pay that much of attention on it. Of course, you can also follow me on Twitter. I made a new Twitter recently that I will try to post safe for work stuff, you know, because I do want being treated just because there's like, you know, there's a lot of people there. So I kind of want to, you know, tap on that. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, don't expect NSFWR on there, but any support would be appreciated. Yeah, also don't be afraid to contact me on Discord for any commission or stuff, or just to talk. Like, Adam, I'm a pretty shy guy, but I don't mind people talking to beasts.
Sweet. Yeah, so people check out his stuff, and he takes commissions, and he also has a fan box, so that would be a great way to support him. Well, it was great having you on. It was a really awesome discussion about art and like the stuff you like for lollies or kinks and stuff like that. Really fun.
It was amazing to be here. Honestly, I was pretty nervous and anxious about it, but I had a blast. I had a fun time talking to you, Rice.
Yeah, we did too.
See, we told you you did feel good, and we're really, really happy that you were on and had a good time and had a great discussion.